desire your prayers tonight. I wonder how many of us here believe what the Bible says. If we don't believe what the Bible says, it probably won't profit us very much to hear or read out of it. But I trust before the night is over, the evening is over, that we do believe what the Word of God has to say. I want to read three different scriptures. First one is found in Matthew, the 6th chapter. In the 9th verse, Jesus said, "After this manner, therefore, pray ye, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." The 7th chapter of the same book, Matthew, in the 21st verse, Jesus, speaking again, said, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." The last one that I want to read is found in John, the book of John in the 6th chapter, and the 40th verse. Jesus speaking again. "This is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day." Now, if you noticed, every one of the scriptures that I have read speaks of God's will. God is a very intellectual being. He's sovereign. He tells us in His Word that His ways are higher than our ways, His thoughts than our thoughts. But the Scriptures plainly point out that we have read tonight that God, in all of His wisdom and of His understanding, has a will. He said in the first one, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven." First of all, I believe that God's will is done in heaven. He has created angels that minister to Him, for Him, to you and I. He says, go and they go. He says, come and they come. His will is done in heaven. And Jesus give us in the model prayer that not only His will be done in heaven, that it be done on earth also. The second reading speaks, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father." God has a will. And God created you and I. We have a will also. And I want to talk about the will tonight a little bit. The third reading said that God's will was that we would hear about Jesus, believe on Jesus, and receive eternal life. That's His will. That's what He wants for this creation. He didn't give the will to the animals. He didn't give it to the trees. He didn't give it to any other part of His creation, but He gave it to you and I, the will. I'd like to read to you a little definition about the will. The will is the faculty of the mind where we determine to do or not to do an action. The decisions are made between two or more objects. And this will then is directed or influenced by the judgment that we make or the decisions made. The reason compares different objects that operate as motives. In other words, when Eve was looking there at the tree that was forbidden, and there were many other trees around it, there was a tree of life. The tree of good and evil, the knowledge of good and evil, it was forbidden, but there was a tree of life. But you notice that the devil didn't direct her to the tree of life. He directed her to the one that was forbidden. So every one of us, when we, as we deal with life, we face choices, don't we? There's choices that we have to make in life. And the judgment determines, the judgment that we make, whether I want to make this choice or whether I want to make that choice, it determines which is, the determination is which one is preferable to me. We're all different. We're all different type creatures, but we all have a will. And the choices that are given us, we determine in our own minds which choice that we want to make. In other words, the way that we reason, with respect to the value or importance of things, we then judge which one that we prefer. And then when we decide which one that we prefer, then our will acts on that. And then on the thing that we decide, you decide your choice, which is most valuable to you. In other words, the will is the operations of the mind, the soul, and the intellectual part of man, the will. The will governs, if I can put it this way, the choices that we make. The will is a defender of your heart. You can hear God speak to you. You can hear the word. You can decide whether you want to accept it or receive it or not. Whether you, if your will acts upon the word that you hear and you choose not to accept it, it is a defender of the heart then, isn't it? Because what you have heard in the mind, in the intellect, does not go down into the heart, and you do not receive the benefit that the word truly has for you. The word is not beneficial just in the mind. It must go down into the heart. It must come go into that inner man. The will. The will also has some other expressions. The will is determination. Being determined about what you are going to do. There are many characters in the Word of God, and I will relate to just a few of them. But the will acts out in the choices that you make. I will to do what I'm going to do. Some people have very strong and powerful wills. And when they make up their mind and they're determined that they're going to do it, they're going to do it. I remember my wife telling me when she was a girl and they played, had recess at school, that they played Red Rover, Red Rover. I don't know if you know what that is, but people form a line on either side of the little playing field there, and they call someone's name, and they've got to run through and try to break through that line. And everybody's holding hands and trying to keep that from happening. She said she was very determined. When they called her name, she ran across there, and she was going to break that one way or another. And there were times that people knew her determination. When she got close, they would let go of their hands, and she'd go and fall flat on her face. Determination. Most of us have determination. We're determined one way or another. The determination is affected by choices that we make. The will acts upon us. God has a will too. We've read that. There's a man in the Bible, his name was David, King David. He was the king of Israel, and God set him on the throne. But he had a will, and he made choices. And he looked down one day over the housetop and he saw Bathsheba over there taking a bath. And he saw what was going on over there. And now there's an object that's been presented to him. There's some choices that he's going to have to make. The enemy came along, made something look real good to him, something that was very attractive to him, and he wanted that. Want is a very powerful force, isn't it? Want, desire, is a very powerful force. We need a govern over those things. We need a government. David, I'm the king. I don't know what all the kind of thoughts went through his mind, but he's the king. So he reaches out, and this man, wasn't he already out to war? I think he was out in the battle. He was out in the battle. And so the husband's gone, and he goes over there, and he sends for her, and he takes her, and you know what he did? The will acted there, didn't it? It wasn't a mistake. It wasn't something it was something that was premeditated. It was something that was intentionally acted upon. And God came to him and corrected him for that. And he told David the mistake that he had made. But he didn't stop there. He took the woman's husband and had him sent to the front lines that the Philistines would kill him. And he was guilty of blood after that. It's amazing what the will can do. When you're determined to do something, and you're determined with all of your mind, with all of your thoughts and all of your heart to do what you want to do, I have learned that people are going to do what they want to do. You can tell them, you can warn them, you can do anything that you want to do to try to help them. People are going to do what they want to do. If you tell them there's danger ahead, and if you keep going that direction, something bad is going to happen, and they're determined to go, they are going to go. No matter what you tell them. Without a government. Without a govern on that will. Determination. David was determined. Power. Something that is at your arbitrary disposal. My will. I will to do that. And that's what I'm going to do. And I don't intend to let anything stop me. There was another man in the Bible and his name was Absalom. He was David's son. This man is very impressive to me. This man got very angry at his brother for taking advantage of their sister. He got very angry about that. And he purposed in his heart that he was going to get even with his brother. This is a will thing, folks. It isn't something that just happened. When the event took place, it was not a mistake. It was intentional. Is that right? It was intentional. He waited 2 years, the Bible says. He waited 2 years biding his time. You ever heard someone say, I'm biding my time? I'm just waiting for the opportunity to get even, and I'm going to get even. There's a will involved there. There's a will involved there. He waited 2 years, and he finally coerced his father to send all of the sons out to a little party that he was going to have. And his plan was to have his brother killed, and that he did. 2 years, can you imagine, holding something against someone, something in your heart festering, something growing, something, a hatred so deep that the will takes over and says, I know it's wrong, I know he's my brother, but somewhere along the line, I'm going to kill my brother. And that he did. There was a will involved there. The will acted out in Absalom's life. Power. Being able to do something even if you know that it's wrong. But nevertheless, I have the power to do it. I hear that question a lot today. Why do they do that? Because they can. They do a lot of things that are done because they can. Not necessarily because it's right, but because they can. You know, the Bible teaches righteousness. Man teaches right. What is right? And man has come up with a lot of ideas today, and even in our government, and made laws of what is right, what we can do and what we can't do, and it's very lenient when it comes to God's plan of righteousness. Yes, it's very different than what righteousness truly is. Amen. Right and righteousness is not the same. We have a will. I think about David's other son. I know he had many. But he had another son. His name was Solomon. We know him well. We understand, we know about his wisdom. We know that God set him up on the throne. God allowed him to build the temple. God allowed him to build the place where God himself was going to come down and worship with his people. Solomon was a wise man. And God not only blessed him with wisdom, but he blessed him with all the many other things. It says in the second chapter of Ecclesiastes, I got everything that my eye saw, everything that my heart desired. And he went on and named all the many things that he accomplished, all the many things that he had. He was renowned throughout the world. But he had a will. He had a will. And his will was, he had, if I have this correct, 300 wives and 700 concubines. And if you read in 1 Kings, the 11th chapter, and I won't take time to turn there, these women, these wives, and these concubines turned his heart away from God. He had it all. Solomon, you had it all. But the objects were set before you, and the choices were there to be made, and this is what you chose. And you chose this over what God had required for you in your life. You chose this over the having the fear of God upon your heart to do these kind of things. And if you read on in the 11th chapter of 1 Kings, you'll see where God came down and he said, I have come to you twice. Now I'm coming to you the third time. That's pretty lenient. But he said, I've told you twice not to go and marry those people, those women. I told you to leave those women alone. They have turned your heart away from your God. He set up idol places of worship. He set up worship around that these women, he married them from all different directions and countries, and they set up their own worshiping idols, worshiping their own gods, and turned his heart away from God. His will. You get the picture. The will. The will can be very strong. Determination. No matter what you say, I'm determined I'm going to do what I want to do. I'm determined. Well, you know, God's given us the right to do that. I've been walking over here in this cemetery. And I've been looking at the names and the ages over there. And I thought about Peter. When the Lord told Peter, he said, you're going where you want to go now. You're going and you're doing what you want to do now. But one of these days, men's going to carry you where you don't want to go. And folks, everyone that I'm looking at tonight is mortal. Every one of us are mortals. And every one of us are going to eternity. Every one of us are going to die. One day, someone will carry us to that place. But when that time comes, there's no more will. Life is gone. The spirit has left the body. The will is not there. Will can also be acted on or be the result of moral reasoning, moral counsel, right intention, ill will, enmity. All of this operates under the will of man. It was ill will that Absalom had against his brother that festered for 2 years. But nevertheless, he had his day. He had his day. There's people today say, I will have my day. You may have it now, but I will have the last say. I want to tell you something tonight in the fear of God. God's going to have the last say.
Amen.
God will have the last say. God made you and I. And gave us the ability to choose. We have the ability when God comes along and with conviction upon our souls, when He plainly shows us what we need to do And we know in our own hearts, and we know in our own minds what we ought to do, God has given us the right to say no. You have that right. Folks, that's power. That's power when I can say to Almighty God, a sovereign God that controls everything, I can say, no, I'm not going to accept your son. But the will of God, the Bible plainly says, it's not His will that any should perish. That's His will. But that all men should come to repentance. The will of God. I'm glad that's His will. I'm glad it was His will that He so loved us that He sent His only begotten Son to come into this world and die for us. You know, that's an old, old story, and many people are getting tired of it. Folks, that's the best story I know. That is the story that brings me hope. That is the story that gives me peace and joy and happiness in a world that we live in today that is so negative. Yes. People don't know whether they're going or coming sometimes. You know, we live in a negative world. Very negative, isn't it? Listen to the news. Everything's negative. Very little positive in our world today. People, you do something good. Let me put it in these terms. I do something good. I'm a good person all my life. And I make one little mistake and I do something bad. You know what people are going to be talking about? Yes, you do, don't you? It's that one little thing that he did that he shouldn't have done. We feast on negativism today. Feast on it. How can we help it? The news source out there. The world around us, the dejection and the rejection, the broken homes and the families and the children that are suffering today from all these things that are happening there. No wonder it's negativism. I'm glad tonight that we have something that is so positive and so true and so real that I can believe it tonight and tomorrow and the next day and the next day. It'll still be the same. It'll still be the same. We have a will. That will. That will. That strong will. The ability to say no. I have seen cost men. I've seen it cost men their lives. Most of you have heard me talk about Jim Smalley. That was very impressive to me. He was a millwright by trade, and I was too. We worked together at times. And he was on that stake bed truck. And they were loading this column on air that weighed 18,000 pounds. Jim Smalley was a very strong-willed man. You couldn't tell him anything. He made plans. He was going to retire in a couple of months. Making his plans, going to do a lot of traveling, going to do this, going to do that. You making plans tonight? You don't know what God has in mind. You don't know where your future really is going tonight. How long you're going to live in this world. That column flipped over, caught Jim Smalley, took him off the other side of the truck, bent him in half backwards, landed on his head, and there was nothing but mush when they took it off. Gone. He told the fella told him, he said, three times, get off the truck, Jim. You don't need to be on it. Just put it on there and don't worry about me. I'll take care of myself. Three times. Lord said, Solomon, I've come to you twice. Now I'm telling you the third time. Your heart's been turned away from me. Jim Smalley went out to eternity. Just like that. Just like that. Don't tell me what to do. I've been a millwright for 35 years, 40 years, whatever it was. Don't tell me what. Just put it on there. Didn't know that he just had a few moments to live. Didn't know that. How many of you know how long you have to live? I don't know how long I have to live. And I'm finding from experiences that I've had in my life that I don't want my will in the way of resisting the Spirit of God. I don't want to resist God. I don't know what's in store for my future in this world. But I know what's in store in my future in the other world. I know that in the other world, if I'm not ready to meet God, there's a hell waiting for me. I said at the beginning, how many of you believe the Word of God? Folks, let me tell you tonight, Jesus Christ came in love, He came in mercy, He came to save the seek and to save those that are lost, but He spoke much more about hell than He ever did about heaven. Much more about hell. Hell is real. But you know what? We're not afraid of it. We're not afraid of it. I got two objects out there in front of me. I got heaven and I got hell. I choose hell. That's what people are saying. They may not come right out and say it with their mouth. Sounds pretty hard, doesn't it? When you come right out and say, I choose hell. But folks, that's what people are doing today. Choosing hell. Whenever the other object is eternal peace and everlasting life. The third scripture that I read tonight. Eternal life. We're all going to live. Oh yeah. The spirit's going to leave your body. And the body's going to go back to the dust from which it came. But that spirit will take on a new body, a new form somewhere out there in eternity. I don't know altogether how God's going to do it, but we're talking God here. He says it's going to happen. I believe it. He said not one jot or one tittle of His Word would fail, folks. You better believe it.
Amen.
You better believe it. I was working with a fella, another millwright. His name was Ted Cromwell. We called him Beaver. Working on a job, you've heard me, some of you heard me tell that too. A big piece of steel was being laid down in a piece of channel. And him and I was standing in front of it. And it was, chain was slipping off the end of the fork of the truck as the fellow lake came in and laying it down, and I saw that it was about to fall. And I reached over with my left hand and I grabbed his shoulder and I said, let's go. And I turned and I ran. And he jerked out of my grasp. When I turned around, he's standing there holding his hand. I said, what's the matter? He said, I cut off another finger. He had three fingers cut off in his work life at three different times. Strong will. Won't listen to warning. Big hunk of steel. I don't know how many hundreds or 1,000, 2,000 pounds that it might have weighed. I'm not going to stay. He tried to catch it. Not very good reasoning, is it? Wasn't a good choice. I walked him down to medical. Sure enough, he didn't show me on the way down, but when we got in, he stuck the finger up in the air and it was gone. Part of it. Bad choices. But I'm going to do what I want to do. That's the thing. I'm going to do what I want to do. You have that right. God's given us the right, folks. We can do what we want to do. Go where we want to go. Say what we want to say. Don't have to listen to the preacher. This morning he laid out some things that are creeping in among us. Oh, but I don't have to listen to him. He's just a preacher. One of these days, you'll wish you had him. One of these days, you'll wish you had him. Your will can stand in the way, and your will can resist. But folks, I'm a realist. I believe in reality. I have done enough funerals. And I've been to enough funerals to know that we're going to die. And the Bible says, as a tree falls, so shall it lie. That means that how I leave this world, folks, the condition that my soul is in, whether I have accepted or rejected God's Son, that's how I'm going to meet Him. We've heard talk in this meeting about the rich man in hell and all that. He's still there. It's not a parable. The Bible says it was a certain rich man. He's still there. Still waiting for the drop of water. But his will says, I'm not going to give in to that. I'm not going to do it. I'm enjoying life. I like what I'm doing. I like what's going on here. And I think things are just going to be great for me. You're listening to the wrong voice. You're listening to the wrong voice. I remember when I was a young boy. You don't see this anymore. A lot of things have changed in our day. You don't see this anymore, but I remember Eddie Baird, who's standing on this side. The altar call went forth and he was shaken all over, trembling. We used to do that back then. Any of you remember that? After the Word of God went forth and conviction came down and dealt with our hearts. I remember that. We used to do that back then. We don't do that anymore. There's a lack of respect. There's a lack of fear of God today. There's a lack of fear of death today. A fear of hell. A fear of eternity. Folks, I tell you, we're getting down into the short hairs of time. When you look upon people today and you see how hard their hearts is and the ability they have to reject the wooing Spirit of God and conviction upon their souls, we're getting down into desperate times. But that man, Eddie Baird, standing there, song's going forth. I don't remember if it was my Uncle Sam, but it seemed like it was. Had preached that night. Might have been somebody else. But I mean, he was shaking all over. He was under conviction. And the altar there was a lot, the front bench was a lot closer to the altar than it is here. And you know what? They sang and they sang and they sang. And he stood there and shook and shook and shook. He didn't go out. He didn't sit down. He just stood there and trembled. And then we finally brought the service to a close. And they went to him and said, Eddie, we know you were under conviction. We know that God was dealing with your soul. Why won't you do it? He had a will, folks. He had a will. He said, why? They said, why all you had to do was take about two steps, you'd have been at the altar. He said, I just couldn't do it tonight. But I'm going to do that someday. I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. You ever heard of those? I'm going to do it. He never did it. 2 weeks later, what he did do was go out into eternity. Just like that in a car wreck. That's where he is today. But he had a will. And he said no. And God accepted that. I don't know what that does to you. Maybe nothing. But it sends chills through me. To think that I'm dealing with an almighty God. Eternal. A God that created you and I. The God that gives you life and breath. And everything the Scripture says. The God that helped, that's giving you breath right here tonight. The God that gives you life. And you say, no, I'm not going to accept your son. Well, that's powerful. And God accepts it. Remember when Paul went to Felix? And he was doing a little preaching to him there. Talking to him about his own soul and his own life. And it said, Felix was reasoning of temperance, of righteousness, and of judgment to come. I hope we believe in judgment. Judgment is surely coming. It says, as he reasoned and thought on those things, what was he doing? He trembled. I think of Eddie. He trembled. He was reasoning. I know I ought to be saved. I know that's what I ought to do. But I'm going to resist it tonight. I'll have another opportunity. There'll be another time. Brother talked this morning about gambling. But I'll tell you a gambling thing that's even more serious to me. And that's gambling with your soul. People are gambling with their souls today. Taking a chance. You know, you all have had these meetings down here for years. I know. I've been coming down here over 20 years now.
You've had these meetings for a long time. There'll be another meeting next year. How do you know you'll be there? How do you know there'll be another meeting next year? We don't know those things. But we have choice. And we make those choices. And many times I've seen people make some unwise choices. I think about our Savior, Jesus Christ. We'll talk about Him for just a little bit. He came into the world and He became a man, didn't He? He became flesh. The Bible said flesh and blood dwell among us. When they put the crown of thorns on His head, blood came out. When they beat His back with the stripes, blood come out of His back. When they put the spear in His side, blood and water, which is what our body is made up of, came out of His side. But I think about Jesus. The Bible says it was preordained. God preordained it before the foundation of the world that His Son would come here and die for you and I. Amen. Thank you, God. Yes. Thank you, God. And Jesus sat there from the beginning of the world on the right hand of the Father, waiting for the time when His Father said, go. And He came here for somewhere around 33 years. Jesus fought some battles with the devil.
Yes, He did.
I talked about one of them the other day. Whenever He was led off by the Spirit into the wilderness and He was tempted by the devil. The Scripture says at the end of those temptations, it said the devil left Him for a season. In other words, He came back. Now I want to paint you a little picture here. I can read it to you. You can find it in Matthew, the 26th chapter. You can find it in Luke, the 22nd chapter. You can read it in Mark and read some of it in John. But I see Jesus in the Scriptures in the garden. In the garden. He took His disciples with Him. And then He left all but three and He took Peter, James, and John. And He went a little farther with them and He told them, watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. Watch and pray. And then He went on out and He did some praying. You remember His prayer. Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Our Savior was facing a horrendous death. And He knew it. But I don't believe that that was the greatest agony that He had. He fought a battle there in that garden that you and I could not fight. He knew that when He got on that cross and was going to be crucified for you and I, that He was going to bear the wrath of His Father against sin. All sins of mankind. He not only bore our sins, but He was going to bear the wrath. Folks, no one else could do that but Jesus Christ. No other way but Jesus Christ bearing the wrath and the sins of you and I. That we might have a hope of eternity. So sure, if it be possible, I'm glad that He didn't back up on it.
Amen.
If it be possible, let this cup pass from me. But if not, I will drink it. And then He said the words, not my will, but Thy will be done.
Amen.
God's will is that His work would be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Yes.
No wonder He said, this is my beloved Son,
yes,
in whom I am well pleased.
Amen.
Jesus had a will, folks.
Yes.
He had a will. I don't want to go to that cross, the flesh now. I don't want to go to that cross. I don't want to bear the wrath of my Father. I don't want to bear all the sins of mankind. That's too big of a load for me. I don't want to do it. I can see that. He was human. But he said, nevertheless, not my will. The will had to be brought into submission, folks. It had to be brought into submission. One time didn't do it. He went out a second time. And he said those same words. Same words. That didn't do it. The Bible says in Matthew, he went out a third time. And he prayed, nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. Do you see the power of the will? If he had not submitted his will to God, he would not have went to the cross and died for you and I. If we do not submit our will to God, folks, we will never see inside of God's heaven. That's the truth. We've got to do some submitting. We've got to understand He is the Creator and we are the creature and we need Him desperately. There is an eternity waiting for every one of us, folks, that we are going to need the blood of Jesus applied to the doorposts of our hearts or we are going to be lost forever in a devil's hell. I thank God for Jesus tonight that He submitted His will. He waited a long time for that. He sat there for over 4,000 years according to Bible history and waited to come down to that time knowing what He was going to face. He saw all the sins of man. He saw what man was doing. He was with God at the creation. He saw the children of Israel. He heard their murmuring and complaining. He saw them turn away from God and worship idols and other gods and all those kind of... He saw all those things and He knew, I've got to go down there. Those people need some help. And I'm the only way out that they have. He's the only way out. And He's the only way out tonight. The only way out that those poor people have. Running around like a bunch of chickens with their heads cut off. Don't have any direction. Don't have any government upon their lives. The will takes control. When the will takes control, you say, I'm in my right. I'm in my rights to do whatever I want to do. It's my right. And you know what? As long as you have breath, you have that right. But if you meet God that way, He is in His rights.
That's right. Amen.
To do what His Word says He's going to do.
Amen.
What is God's will? It's right here in front of me. It's the Word of God. I want to leave you with a scripture. Luke, the 19th chapter. Let us consider it for just a little bit. The 19th chapter of Luke, 41st verse. And when he was come near, he beheld the city and wept over it. That was Jerusalem. Matthew 23 and 23 says it a different way. Brother Clint brought it out last night. He looked out over the city and he wept over it. Why did he weep? Why did he weep over Jerusalem? He knew. He knows what's waiting in eternity.
He knows.
When he spoke about hell, you can rest assured that that man knew what he was talking about. He wept over a city. Why? Because they rejected him. They wouldn't accept him. The scripture said he came unto his own and his own received him not. And he knew he was about to leave this world. And he had come and he had preached to them. He had done many miracles before him. He had raised the dead. He had opened the eyes of the blind. He had done all these kind of things. And they still rejected him. The Pharisees said, "Abraham's our father." They had it all right. They were self-righteous people. And they rejected the one that came to die for them. And as he was getting ready to leave this world, he went out and he looked over Jerusalem, the city of David, the place where God had come down many times and met with his people, with God's people. And he began to weep. Not only because he knew what was about to happen, but because of his great love. His great love that he had for their souls. Do you know, I'm convinced tonight that God has great love for our souls. I believe it was that love that caused him to go out in agony, where it says his blood, his sweat became as great drops of blood. He was in such agony on what he was about to face. And such a strain upon the human flesh that the capillaries broke down when the sweat came out and it was red as blood. And that can happen. He wept because he loved them. He wept because he knew. Do you know that God tonight knows each and every one of us? He knows when each and every one of us are going to leave this world. He knows. I'm not talking about predetermined that you're going to die at such and such a time, but God knows those things. He knows those things. He said, "I am God and I inhabit eternity." He is not governed by time. He's not limited by time. He's not limited with what these natural eyes see, folks. He goes way above this natural flesh that we live in. And he understands things that you and I don't understand. But as he looked out over the city, it said he beheld the city and he wept over it. And this is what he said: "If thou hadst known, even thou at least in this thy day, the things which belong unto thy peace, but now they are hid from thine eyes." I preached to you for 3.5 years. Some of us have been preached to all of our lives, many, many years. Some of us have heard this gospel many, many times and still haven't accepted Jesus Christ. 3.5 years. And he said, "If thou hadst known even now, at least in this your day, the things which belong to thy peace, but now they are hid from thine eyes." In other words, I'm about to leave here. And the opportunity you had is lost. You lost your opportunity. You lost your chance. You gambled and you lost. And he went on to say, "For the day shall come upon thee that thine enemy shall cast a trench round about thee and compass thee round and keep thee in on every side and shall lay thee even with the ground and thy children within thee, and they shall not leave in thee one stone upon another." And he was talking about what was going to happen in about 40 years. He was telling them, he knew. You didn't know. Jerusalem, you didn't know. How often I would have gathered you together. Oh, how much I loved you. What I wanted to do there. Many things, he said, the Bible says, many mighty works he couldn't do. Even among his own people. This is just, oh, this is somebody's brother here. I know his mother. I know his father. Many things that I wanted to do, but yet your belief, or your unbelief, I should say, limited what I could do. But he's telling them that in about 40 years, as history bears out, Titus is going to come. The Roman army is going to come. This great double-walled city that you're hiding behind is going to fall. And I tell you, folks, I've read the history, and it's terrible.
the things that befell that city.
It's terrible, the things that happened inside that city before Titus ever got there.
You see, God knows. He knows. He's God. We don't know. That's one of our greatest fears in life, is it not? That I don't know what tomorrow holds. When a situation arises where there's troubles or problems in my family or my home or one of my children, or there's a sickness that comes upon us, one of the greatest things that trouble us is, I don't know how this is going to come out. I don't know how it's going to work out. God does. Can you believe that tonight? I believe part of the reason that Jesus was weeping over Jerusalem, I can see the frustration that he had for those people. Because I'll tell you, folks, I've been asking God, God, what can we say? God, what can we do? I am so frustrated that people can sit under the sound of the gospel and I know that they need help in their souls. It's not so much what I know, but God knows. You see, we're not going through this just to go through the motions. We really love your souls. We really want you to make heaven. But you got a will standing in the way. I see the choices, brother, but I don't choose to make that choice. Therefore, my will is not going to act upon that. And I'm going to stay right where I am. You can do that until you leave this world. Then after that, God takes over. After that, God takes over. And the word's very plain. What happens to every one of us in whatever condition that we're in? Frustration. It's frustrating. You put forth all the effort that you have. Tired and weary in body. Running here, running there. Going here, going there. People still saying, no, I don't want it. But I'll still come to church. I'm glad you do. I'm glad you do. Folks, I'll tell you, as we already heard in this meeting, it's going to take more than that. We need Jesus tonight. He said here, because thou knewest not the time of thy visitation. I submit to you tonight that even with this little message, pitiful little message that we have endeavored to bring forth, that we do not know when. We do not know the day or the time, but Jesus did. And these things are going to happen to you because you rejected me, Lord and Savior. Because thou knewest not the time of thy visitation. You know what reminds me of a young rich man the Bible speaks of? That his wealth became so great that his barns wouldn't hold it all. And he said, I know what I'm going to do. I'm not going to give it away and help the poor and the needy. I don't have any benevolence for anyone else. I'm going to tear down my little barns and I'm going to build bigger barns. Are you still trying to build your big barns? You're still trying to make everything in life fit in, folks? God said, thou fool. God called him a fool. You know, I think it's foolish to reject the Spirit of God. It's foolish to reject conviction upon your heart. Folks, we live in a wicked world. God is withdrawing His Spirit away. How much longer do you think that the convicting Spirit of God is going to rest upon our people? With the sins that are going up before His face. What a long-suffering God that He truly is. How long? Jerusalem time ran out. Ran out. It ran out. Time's going to run out for every one of us. Time will surely run out, folks. It'll do that. It has a way of doing it. Time has a way of slipping up on you. I can still remember being a young boy. Time has a way of getting away from you. One of these days it's going to run out. One of these days I'm going to be over in a place like that right over there. With a little name maybe on a marker somewhere. Time's running out. It's time to submit your will. Submit your will to the will of God. Are you willing to stand on the decisions that you make tonight for eternity? The decision that you make tonight may be the decision that you are making for eternity. Maybe. And I don't want to scare anyone. As I said, this is reality. People die. That's reality. We all see it. We all know we're not going to be here forever. And we all know we need a Savior. This is the will of God. That no one should be lost, but that everyone should come to repentance.
Amen.
Oh, I'm glad that's His will. Yeah. I'm glad that He chose the foolishness of preaching. I'm glad that He sent His Son with such great love, mercy, and compassion, and a willingness. You know, this scripture just came to my mind. In the 5th chapter of Ephesians, in the 2nd verse, it talks about His sacrifice. Jesus gave His life, it says. A sacrifice for a sweet-smelling savor unto God. Have you ever thought about that? Jesus died and it was a sweet-smelling savor unto God? What kind of a God is that? What kind of a God is He, folks? Can look down on His only Son, the only Son that He had, dying, hanging on a cross, bearing His wrath, bearing our sins, and it was a sweet-smelling savor. I'll tell you what kind of a God He is. He's a God of love. That's love that He would, could, it would be a sweet-smelling savor. It'd be a sweet thing unto God to watch His only Son hang there brutally on a cross. He loves us that much. You think He's going to back up on His word? He's not going to do it. He's given us the plan of salvation. He's given us a way out. He's given us a hope. And just as sure as we're sitting here tonight, folks, when we reject that, the other plan will go into effect when we leave this world. He has a plan for the just and the unjust. And just as sure as we leave this room tonight without helping our souls and we go out into eternity and meet God, there's a plan that's in place for you too. God placed great value on His Son. And He loved Him so much that He was able to look down and it was a sweetness to His nostrils to see His only Son suffer. Crucified because of God's great abundant love for you and I.
Amen.
Thank you, God. Amen.
Yes.